Hey, good morning. Welcome to Lighthouse Community. I'm really glad all of you are here this morning. It's going to be a great morning. My name is Fritz Beal. Yeah, got the hoot hoot out there. That's what I'm talking about. So, yeah, I love when people come ready to get into it. All right. It's been a great morning. We'll see all you guys next Sunday at 10:27. No, just kidding. Just kidding. You got to end on a high note. That's how that works. But I'm really glad you're here. I'm Fritz. I'm the pastor here at Lighthouse Community, and really glad to be getting into Scripture, to be worshiping with you this morning. If you brought a Bible, I want you to open up to Luke chapter 11. That's where we're going to be at today. Again, I understand that some of you realize, like, hey, we're in a series. Fritz, I don't know how many times we can have this conversation. We are in a study on 1 Timothy. You keep leaving 1 Timothy to talk about 1 Timothy. Let me explain to you what's going on. So we're in a series called Blueprints, where we're studying through 1 Timothy, talking about how to study Scripture, talking about some different core essence of what it is to be a Christ-centered church. And a Christ-centered church is made up by Christ-centered disciples. But last Sunday, if you were here, we talked about 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And we really dove into the topic of prayer and what prayer really is and how we can pray and get some handles on that. And where that came out of was 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And the New Living Translation is here on the screen. I want to read that for you real quick. And it says this: I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. And so last week we just dove into what that means to pray. What does it mean to pray with other people? What does it mean to pray for other people? How can we set times to pray? Things along those natures, along those lines. And what we did was we really gave handles on what it was to pray and some creative ways that we could engage into prayer. And when we're talking with people after Sunday and through the week, I'm talking with leaders, I'm talking with different people, and it just felt like we are not done talking about prayer as a church. So we thought, we're just going to hang here for another week, because we don't just want to talk about it and then move on and go do something else. We want to dial in and really engage what God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus has for us to engage. So after last week, some of you may be feeling really hopeful about prayer, because you're like, wow, I got some really good ideas on how I can engage in prayer on my own. Some of you guys may have gotten the Practicing Prayer resource and how you can pray with others. Some of you may have come away with some real practical ideas on how you can engage in prayer. So we're not going to rehash that message. If you want to watch that, you can watch it online and get caught back up with everybody else if you missed last week. But so you may be feeling hopeful about prayer and how to engage on that, but still at the same time a little bit hesitant. Like, yeah, we talked about some things, but I still have a few questions. And, you know, like questions like, what if God doesn't answer my prayer? What if I pray and I'm really earnest and I have faith and I really believe, but God still doesn't answer my prayer? What then? What does that mean? Does that say something about God? Does that say something about me? Does that say something about somebody else? Do I have a lack of faith? Am I praying wrong? All of these different types of questions come up. And so you might be feeling equipped for prayer, like I've got some things that I can be doing. But what I want to do today and what my hope is, if we can tackle some of those questions and some of those issues, not only will you have, be equipped for prayer, but you'll also be having the confidence that comes with faith-filled prayer as well. And so that's why we're kind of coming back and hanging on this topic of prayer again. You know, because I think what happens is with many of us, I know what's happened in my life, and you might identify with this too, is have you ever felt like you're just not good at prayer? Like, I am not good at prayer. I'm no good at it. I can't pray. I don't know how to pray alone. I kind of just do these Hail Marys throughout the day. Like, I'm getting ready to go to a meeting that's really tough, and I'm like, Lord, please help me. You know, and like, that's my prayer. I definitely am not praying out loud in a group of other people, because that ain't happening, right? I remember going like feeling like I was no good at prayer, and mainly because my pastor, my first pastor, who his ministry, you know, I came to faith under him, but you know, the way he would pray, his name was Dave Flack, great pastor. His name still is Dave Flack, so he hasn't changed his name. He's continued. That's worked out for him so far, so he's continuing with it. But Dave Flack, this guy was an incredible prayer. and just amazing. I remember just hearing his prayers on Sundays. I got to spend some time with him alone, and we would pray together. And I was just like, this dude knows how to pray. I can't pray like Pastor Dave. I probably will never be able to pray like Pastor Dave Flack, and I would get frustrated and because I just can't do what he can do. Have you ever faced moments like that where you're just like, I can't pray like that person, or I'm not effective in my prayer, or if I pray, it's more like, well, I hope something happens. I don't know if it will, but I'll just kind of throw it out and we'll see. You know, maybe God will respond in a certain way. You know, maybe feel inadequate, maybe feel nervous, maybe feel scared. Have you ever faced that in your own personal life? Or is that just kind of me that's dealt with that? Yeah, I think all of us have faced that at some point in our life. And so this morning, what I want to do is we kind of talked about some of the hows on prayer last week. Today I want to talk a little bit about the whys of prayer, the why of prayer, and how we can become more confident in our prayer. So we're going to get into some scripture, and we're going to discover together what Jesus tells us about prayer. So if you brought your Bible, go to Luke 11. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. That'll be on the screen behind me. If you've got another version, that's great. Follow along, or bring it up on your phone or your tablet. That's great too. So Luke chapter 11, Luke is the third gospel out of the four, third book in the New Testament, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and we're going to be in chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 1 through 13, and then I'm going to talk about how we're going to work through this really quick. All right, starting with verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, we'll talk about what that word means, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now, what I want to do is I want to work through this scripture together. We've been talking about how to study scripture. We're going to do the same thing this morning, right? We're going through the three phases of just basic Bible study. Somebody just shout out, what's the first phase in basic Bible study?
Observation.
We're answering the question, what does this say? What's the second piece of Bible study? Interpretation, which is what does this mean? And then the last aspect, so we got it from this and this. I need someone over here on the right section. We got to get you all in. What's the last piece of Bible study? Application. I heard it, but somebody got it. Application. What does God want me to do? Observation, interpretation, application. We're going to do this together this morning, all right? So what I wanted to do was show you what Bible study can look like when you're by yourself sometimes. So I have a picture up here. These are some of my notes and some of my thoughts. So what I did here was I actually printed off the verses onto a piece of paper. I triple spaced them, and then you can see all of the madness that happened on this page. Then I transferred some of that over here into three columns, observation, interpretation, application. Some of you guys who are noticing right now, I also broke the scriptures down a little bit more as well. Because when you look at these verses, Luke 1 to 13, there's a lot there. And you're kind of like, whoa, how do I work through this? So sometimes it's actually easier when you can see some natural phrase or paragraphs within a section, you can kind of break those down and deal with smaller chunks. So you'll notice what I did was I broke it down, Luke 11, 1 through 4, 5 through 10, and then 11 through 13. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. So we're going to do something today I've never done before. I'm actually going to teach using these notes this morning, okay? This craziness up here. So my outline is really simple out here. It says, look at your notes. That's what it says. So we're going to use some of this because I want to walk you through what this means and what this looks like and how I observed, how I interpreted, how I applied, all those types of things. But we can do this together. So we're going to start with Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. Now, what we're going to do is we're looking at the observation point. What are we seeing in the scriptures themselves? Well, when I was going through it, one thing that jumped out to me was Jesus was praying. So Jesus himself is praying. That's pretty important to me. If he's praying and I'm a follower of Jesus, then probably I should be praying. So I'm working through that. And then I see what the disciples, they come to their rabbi, Jesus, and they ask him a question or they make a statement. They say, Lord, teach us to pray. So they came to Jesus and asked, teach us to pray. Like, whoa, that is really important. And we're going to talk about why that's important here in a second, because right after it, it says, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Now, what they're referring to is John the Baptizer. If you go back, see John chapter 3, you see Mark chapter 4, 3 and 4, you'll see some background on John the Baptizer. But so they come and say, teach us to pray like other people have taught their disciples to pray. And then what does Jesus do? He begins teaching. He begins teaching on prayer. And we see that happening right in here. Now, sometimes observing what is not in there is actually just as important as observing what is right in front of you, right? We see the disciples asking, teach us how to pray, like other people have taught their disciples how to pray, and look at what Jesus doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say, well, you either just kind of get prayer or you don't, right? He doesn't say, oh, prayer is actually a gift of the Holy Spirit, and when you come to faith and the Holy Spirit resides in you, then you'll know how to pray. He doesn't say that either. He doesn't say some people are naturally gifted at prayer and other people are really poor at prayer. So I'm sorry, I can't do anything for you. He's not saying any of those things. What does he do? He begins to teach them how to pray. That's going to be really important here in just a second. Now, as he's teaching them, he takes them through what I would call a model of a prayer. I don't know that he taught us this. I wouldn't say that he taught us this prayer that we would repeat it word for word as we see it in scriptures every time we pray. But rather, this is a model of prayer. Because actually, if you look at these verses, you see, and you look at it, you see, Father, hallowed be your name. Hallowed talks about holiness, right? Talks about holiness, that God is unique. He's set apart from everybody else. Nobody else is like God, and he's free from sin. And so you see the aspect of holiness. Your kingdom come. Well, that's talking about his sovereignty, that God is sovereign. He's in control. He's in charge. He created everything, right? Give us each day our daily bread. Well, that's God as provider. God is our provider. The same way you provided for Israel through the wilderness, we pray that you would provide for us today as well. You go on a little bit further. Forgive us, right? Forgive us our sins. Well, now we're talking about a Savior. We're talking about a Redeemer, that aspect of God, right? Then the next phrase is really about us, but then you get to the end, and lead us not into temptation. Well, that's God as guide, right? And so every aspect in this prayer, Jesus is pointing to who God is. What's really interesting about this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, it plays out way more in Matthew 6, but also here in Luke 11, you could actually start all of these phrases with the word you. You could start all of these phrases with the word you. So it'd be like, okay, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. God, you give us each day our daily bread. God, you forgive us of our sins. God, you lead us not into temptation. And so when you look at these prayers, they're really actually very God-centered. They're actually not me-centered. These aren't prayers that are really centered about me. They're actually prayers that are centered on God the Father, because it's like we need you to step up. We need you to meet this need. We need you to guide. We need you to teach us how to forgive and to forgive us first, right? And so you see all this stuff playing out just by looking at what's being said in the scriptures. We haven't even begun to dig into this thing yet. That's just face value, right? So those are some observations I see. And just in those verses, you might see some other observations too, but you're not up here teaching. So when you're teaching, then you can share your observations. but no, so there's more. Plus, we have a time limit that we have to work through. So that's the observation. When you move to interpretation, what does this mean? There's two things that I think are really important. The first one is this. The interpretation of this is that prayer is God-centered. Prayer is God-centered, right? Maybe some of the reasons that I struggle with prayer is because my prayer is me-centered. Yeah, I heard somebody just said it. Self-centered. My prayer is me-centered. My prayer is self-centered. Yet when Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, it is God-centered, right? That's very different. Here's another thing, an interpretation of what I think this means. If the disciples can come and ask Jesus to teach them how to pray, in reference to another rabbi teaching his disciples how to pray, and Jesus goes on and teaches his disciples how to pray, what does that mean? I can learn how to pray. I can learn how to pray. And so if I don't feel like I'm a very effective prayer, if I don't feel like I'm very comfortable in my prayer, I can actually learn how to pray from God. God can teach me how to pray, right? Prayer's not this mystical thing that some people are blessed with and others aren't. It's actually something that can be taught and learned because Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. So, man, that just means that prayer just got opened up to every single believer. It's not just for the Pastor Dave Flax. It's not just for the great people, the great prayers in your family group. It's not just for some people who get it. It's actually open to all of us to grow as prayers. We can learn how to pray, right? And so, what does that carry over into application? Well, learn how to pray. Like you step into it. I can learn how to pray. And here's the other side. So if you're not very effective at praying or you feel insecure or anxious or nervous, that means I can learn how to pray. I can get myself into a place where I can learn how to pray. But it also means if you're here this morning like, oh, I feel totally comfortable praying. I love to pray. That's one thing I really enjoy doing with my time or with my day or with my life. Guess what? If you know how to pray and you're pretty good at it, guess what you get to do? You get to teach me how to pray, right? Because if prayer can be learned, that also means prayer can be taught, right? So if you're effective at praying, you can teach me how to pray when I don't feel adequate or equipped in knowing how to pray. And so here's a little saying. It's goofy. I'm just going to own this right now. But you know what's happened? It's just stuck in my head. And so if it's stuck in my head, maybe it will stick in your head too. So I'm going to share it with you. Have you remember the old saying, practice makes? Yeah, see, you've got that stuck in your head. That's a good one. So I came up with a little phrase, a little saying that maybe just might encourage you to jump into prayer. It's campy. I get it. But maybe it will help you. And it's this. If I practice every day, God can teach me how to pray. Right? And so, I'm going to practice in prayer every day. Every day, I'm going to practice. Every day, I'm going to engage. Every day, I'm going to get back at it again. Because if I practice every day, then God is going to teach me how to pray. He can teach me how to pray through the scriptures. He can teach me how to pray by being with other believers. He can teach me how to pray through being with the Holy Spirit. But that only comes through practicing, through learning how to pray the way that Jesus did. And I know for some of you, you get really frustrated and you just want to throw your hands up and go, I can't do this. I'll never be able to pray. That's not true. That's not true. You can learn how to pray. And so stick it in your brain. If I practice every day, God can teach me how to pray. And then you do it, right? You jump in and you do it. Here's a really cool thing. You can use this prayer in verses 2-4 as a model, right? You can use that as a model. You know, God, you're holy. I thank you that you're holy. Will you help me to live differently than the rest of the world, right? Like that's a simple prayer. I pulled right out of the first section, the phrasing of that scripture, right? God, your kingdom come, you're in charge. And so I'm relinquishing my aptness to grab things and take them back. I'm putting them back in your hands, Lord. take them from me. They belong to you. I don't want to be in charge. I've been in charge of my life before, and you know where that got me. And so I'm going to put my life in your hands. Your kingdom come, not my kingdom come, right? So you can use this as a model for prayer, praying through who God is. Here's another thing, too. I'm really excited about this. Some of you guys have already seen it, and you've stolen some. And that's okay. That's all right. You can ask for forgiveness later today. But we have this really cool Bible reading plan, okay? I'm so jazzed about this. We're calling it Summer Through the Psalms, okay? And so this has all 150 psalms on the front and back of this card, and it's a reading plan that's 5 days a week. And so, you know, take 2 days off, or you get behind, you jump back ahead. Here's what I really love about this plan, is it takes you through the psalms, and you're only reading, I mean, what, probably 5 to 10 minutes a day, Larry, would you? Okay, 40 verses a day. So by the way, so Larry created this Bible reading plan for Lighthouse, and he designed it perfectly for all of us. And what I love about it is on the right-hand side, there's this section that says, what I learn about God or his character. And so when you're done with this, you're going to have all of these reference points of who God is, what his character is like, what is near to his heart. And the next time you're praying, you can pray through some of the scriptures and even pray through some of the character of who God is. So you're all going to get an opportunity to have this. We're actually going to have guys at the doors on your way out. They're going to be shoving these into your hands. You can't reject them. You have to take them, all right? So you actually can't even leave the room unless you have one of these. It's like the ticket to get out. Most people need a ticket to get in. You got to have a ticket to get out. So this is your ticket out of this building. And so engage in this. We're all going to be reading through Psalms this summer. Really easy, really fun. But that's a way to learn about who God is and how you can pray in that way. Okay, that's verses 1 through 4. We're going to do the rest. It's going to move a little bit quicker, but here's what's going to happen. You're going to see how actually all these verses come back together and how they play, because we're not going to separate. This is all still one thought. This is still one teaching that Jesus does, and so we're going to bring this back together. So the big thing on this first part is I can learn how to pray. Jesus can teach me how to pray. Scripture can teach me how to pray. Okay, let's go to verses 5 through 10. We're going to observe again. So Jesus teaches them how to pray, and then he tells a story about prayer, okay? He tells a story to bring home the idea, about prayer. And so he tells a story that, you know, let's say you had a need at a really bad time, okay? Let's say you had a need at a really bad time, a really awkward time. So he says it's midnight. Everybody's asleep. A friend of yours comes in from a long journey. He just happened to arrive at that point. You have no food for him. Now, for you and I, it's like, all right, we'll like hit Arby's and like, you know, come back and bring it. There's no Arby's yet, right? That hasn't happened yet. And so you can't do that. So what happens is I don't have any food. I wasn't ready. I wasn't prepared. For us, it's like, well, it's not a big deal. We'll eat at breakfast time. No, it is a big deal. Because in Jewish culture, hospitality is sacred. Hospitality of your guests and even hospitality of strangers is actually the top mark. You know who doesn't take care of their guests? Like wicked people. Wicked people don't take care of their guests and aren't caring for them. They're not protecting them. And so hospitality is there, man. Like this was such a big deal. You would even be forced to be hospitable to your enemy if he came to you looking for help. This is how huge hospitality is in this culture. It's sacred. It's sacred, man. And so you've got this happening. You are not fulfilling your sacred duty to care for your friend. What do I do? Well, I go to my neighbor's house and I ask for a cup of sugar, right? Like that's what we do. You do that at like 11 in the morning, not 12 at night, right? So you come over, you knock on the door and say, hey, I need some bread. Can you help me out? And the guy's in like, dude, I'm in bed. I'm not getting up to give you bread. Go to Arby's, right? And like, no, like, there's no Arby's yet. You can't tell me to go to Arby's. There's no Arby's yet. And so he's like, everybody's in bed. You're going to make me wake them up. I can't do this. And Jesus says, but he will get up and do this for you. Why? Because he's your friend? No, not because he's your friend, but because of your impudence is the way the English Standard Version translates it. Your version might translate it another way. Let me tell you what that word, impudence, literally means. It literally means boldness, and it's two words, two root words that come together to make one word, and they literally mean this together. Without shame. Without shame. That's what the word impudence literally means. Without shame. So since you came and asked without shame, right? What is shame? Shame is like, it's midnight. I can't ask you. That's like, that would be shameful on me. I can't ask you to get up at midnight to get bread for my guests that I should have been ready for. That's shame. And he goes, no, you're asking without shame. It's like, dude, I'm in a pinch. If you don't step in, if you don't help out, I am in trouble. And so your friend gets up because you asked without shame. This must be important. You wouldn't be asking unless this was important. That's why he's going to get up and help you and take care of you, right? And so then Jesus follows up that story with this. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened up to you. I want to tell you something about those words, ask, seek, and knock. Those are in the imperative form of the Greek. Now, to many of you, that means absolutely nothing, and that's okay. I'm going to tell you why that's important. The imperative form of the Greek verb means this is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a if you get time. It's not a if it's convenient for you. Jesus says, you ask, you seek, and you knock. When you're in a position and you know you need reliance on the Father and no one else, you ask. Not like, well, if you get around to it. No, you ask, and you seek, and you knock. And so these are commands that Jesus is teaching to his disciples, right? And so those are some of the observations that we see. Well, what does that mean, interpretation? Well, here's what it means at its core. This is a story about God. This is a story about how we can go to God. So what is this? What this means is that God will meet your need. That's what this story is about. Ask, and God will answer, and he will meet your need. Knock, and God will answer, and he will meet your need. Seek, and God will answer, and he will meet your need. God will always meet your need. That's what this story is about. He will never not meet your need. He will actually always meet your need. And so what that means is that I can pray to God without shame. Right? I can pray to God without shame. I can come to him in boldness. And so some of you guys are actually thinking right now, and you're going, wait a second, come to God in boldness, come to God without shame. Isn't there another Bible verse that kind of talks about that? You would be right. Verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 4 says this, let us then with confidence or boldness draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. That you ask without shame because God will meet your need every time. And so lose the pretense, right? Lose the pretense. Oh, holiest of fathers who sits above all of creation, who all of good things have done. No, let it go. Read Matthew 6, man. Jesus says your prayers aren't answered because of your many words. Just ask. Your Father knows what you need. Just ask him. Ask him and he'll take care of you. Right? Just say to God, God, you're awesome and you're great. I love you. I'm in a real pickle right now. I need you. I don't know what to do with my wife. I don't know what to do with my family. I don't know what to do with my husband. I don't know what to do with my job. I need you. I don't know what you should do. I don't even know what I want you to do. I just know I don't want to be in this situation. Will you guide me? And guess what? God will answer, and he will meet your need. And some of you are going right now, but what about when he doesn't? What about when he doesn't answer my prayer? What about when he does not answer my prayer? When I am asking and I'm begging and he doesn't answer my prayer, what then? He didn't do what I asked him to do. He didn't do what I needed him to do. I went with boldness. I went without shame. I did all that, and God is not answering. Now what? It's a good thing this teaching isn't over. Right? Then you go on to verses 11 through 13. Okay? And what Jesus does here is he sets up this hyperbole, right? You know what hyperbole is? It's like extreme situation, just craziness, ridiculousness, all of that. He sets up this hyperbole, and it's the hyperbole of this clueless, stupid father. Right? That's what he's setting this up. He's almost like, okay, all of those in the crowd, raise your hand if you're an absolutely absent-minded, clueless, stupid moron father, raise your hand. right? And so, like, Father's Day, many of us are going, right here, you know, right here. Somebody just told me to raise my hand. I don't know what it's about, you know? And so, you know, he's like, you know, it just the absolute worst possible clueless, you know, dumb, stupid father. He sets this up. He's like, what dad in their right mind, right? You guys who are full of sin, who are surrounded with darkness, you've been marred by disobedience in God as humanity. Out of you people who are so full of evil, when your son, who you love deeply, would ask you for a fish, which one of you would give him a poisonous snake and put it in his hand instead? Or if he asked for an egg to eat, which one of you morons would put a scorpion to his mouth, right? Like, that's what he's doing. He's setting up this hyperbole that's so absolutely ridiculous that we're all like, nobody would do that. Nobody in their right mind would do that. You know, it just wouldn't happen. It's not going to happen. And so then he says this, if you who are completely full of evil and surrounded in darkness know how to take care of your children well when they ask for something, imagine our Father in heaven who's purely good. We just prayed about it. He is holy. He is sovereign. He is redeemer, right? He is provider. He is guide. There is not one ounce of darkness in him at all. He is all good. First John said he is light and there's no darkness in him at all. He is completely good. Our Father who's that way, if you know how to take care of your kids when they ask for things, don't you think that God knows how to take care of you when you ask for things? That's what he's saying here. And so what is that? That's the observation. So the interpretation crosses over. It's like, well, what does this mean? Well, it means that however God answers your prayer, I can trust that answer because he is good. However he answers my prayer, I can trust that answer because he's good, and so his answer would be good. It would never be bad. It would never be evil. He would never do anything to hurt me or to set me up to fail or die in eternal death. But what he'll do instead is every answer that he gives to my prayer is actually good. And so what do you do when God doesn't answer the way that you wanted him to answer to, and you asked without shame, and you asked with boldness, and you did everything you're supposed to do, and you pulled all the right levers, and you said all the right words, and you touched as many rosaries as you could, and you, you know, did all of these different types of things in place. I did everything right. And God didn't answer my prayer the way that he wanted to. Because his answer is good and your answer is not. That's what that means. His answer, his solution to your challenge is good and your solution to the challenge is not good. That's why he didn't answer it the way that you wanted him to. But what this means is that, what's the application side of that? It means that I don't have to question God in the answer to my prayers. I don't have to question God in the answers to my prayers. And so if he answers with yes, that means it's good for a yes. If he answers with no, then it means the no is good. If he answers with not now, that means the answer is good. Because God would never do anything that is not good for you and good for the glory of his name. It's who he is. And so you don't ever have to question his answers. I got an email this week from, I'll just read what it says. It says this, I have been having, and when I share this story, this is not going into some type of health, wealth, and prosperity type of message, or, you know, God's always going to do this when you do this. It's not the point of this story, but I want you to catch the point of this. I had been having headaches for a month. Others had been encouraging me to make a doctor's appointment, but I didn't, because I knew that it was going to be the weekend, and my doctor has Mondays off, and I know as a mom that if you call and schedule something, they'll be fine come time for the appointment. So, right? Isn't that right? Like, oh, man, they're deathly sick. It's Saturday, and then you get there Monday, like, yeah, they're fine now. I'm really sorry, you know. Just have a coffee on me. I don't know. So I decided to wait till Monday to make my appointment. On Sunday morning, God spoke to me about prayer through the message. So this was last week, through the message. And when the invitation for prayer was given, I heard God say, I didn't want you to make the appointment because I wanted you to pray about it so that I can heal you. Right? Do you hear what's being said there? I didn't want you to make an appointment. I wanted to be the one to heal you. So I went forward for prayer, trusting God. So I went forward, I was prayed for, and nothing happened. All right, went back to my seat. And it says this. And then after about 10 minutes after praying on Sunday morning, I haven't had a headache since. I've been dealing with it for over a month. I went forward to pray with these prayer partners right here, people that come up here, and I don't have headaches now since then. Why did God ask her to do that? What's wrong with setting up an appointment with the doctor? There's nothing. There's nothing wrong with setting up an appointment with the doctor. But in this situation, God said, I don't want your doctor getting the glory. I don't want your chiropractor. I don't want you to think it was your chiropractor that took care of you. I don't want you to think taking the drugs is what helped you get better. I want you to know in this moment, it was me. It was me. And you can't attribute it to anybody else except me. Now, this is not to say you shouldn't set up doctor's appointment or not take medicine or things along those lines. I am not making that statement. What I'm saying in this situation for that woman, God told her, I want you to know it was me. And it didn't just go away, I took it away because I'm good and I'm your father. And no matter how I answer your prayer requests, I will take care of you and you can trust me on that, right? And so I want to challenge. So what is all this? So we smush all of this together, right? I told you, we're going to take all these things and we're going to smush them together into one thought, into one idea, because these are all the scriptures, this is one teaching. It's not three separate teachings. So the first piece was that I can learn how to pray. The second piece was that I can pray without shame. And the third piece was that I can trust God's answers to my prayer because he is good. So when you put all that together, it's this, is that I can learn to pray effectively, trusting God to meet my needs in the best way. That's what all of this means that Jesus is saying. I can learn how to pray effectively, trusting God to meet my needs in the best way. Right? That's what it is. And that's what Jesus is teaching when he's teaching about prayer. It's not just the models and the forms and this is how you do it and this is how you don't do it and all those types of things. It's an aspect of trust. It's an aspect that I'm handing everything over to the Father. I am putting it in his hands because when it's in my hands, I have a tendency to just jack it up. Why? Because I don't have the perspective that the Father has. I think about my kingdom. God is thinking about his kingdom. Ask which one's larger. Ask who's more powerful in that setup, right? So here's what I would encourage you to do. This week, keep practicing prayer. Some of you are going, I'm no good at prayer. I stink at prayer. But if you practice every day, God can teach you how to pray, right? So you engage every day and you get up and you keep trying and you keep practicing, you will get better. If you want to get some handles, jump onto last week's message and there's some things that you can do to begin to learn, some really practical things that have helped me to grow as a person of prayer. So engage, get plugged in prayer and keep practicing. Learn from the scriptures, learn from other believers, learn from God how to pray. And if you really want to take the next step in this, here's what I want to do. If you really want to double down on this thing, I want to invite you. I think on July 1st is going to be the next prayer team meeting. Is that right? July 1st? Or is it July 8th? Okay, July 8th. So July 8th, the prayer team is going to be meeting together right here after the service, and they talk about things, and they pray together, and there's been some amazing things that have happened out of that as well. But you go, I want to learn how to pray. Come to that meeting. Come check out that. It doesn't mean you have to join the team. All it means is you're going to come and get around other people who have a passion to pray, and they like to pray as well. So July 8th, right after the service, just stick around for a little bit longer and meet from them. Meet with them. That's one thing you can do. Here's another thing you can do. This coming Saturday, it'd be June 30th, there's a group of us that are going to meet here at Lighthouse at 10 o'clock. We've done this once before. It was great. We're going to meet here at 10 o'clock. We've got these light bulbs. And we're going to go out to a neighborhood south of Lighthouse, and we're going to give away light bulbs to people in the neighborhood. Because if your house is like my house, a light bulb burns out, you never have one in the cupboard, right? You just never have one. So you got this bulb that's out just bothering you the whole time. Like, I need to get one. You go to the store, and you get everything except a light bulb. And so you're like, there it is, still just mocking me. And so we're going to go out and just give light bulbs to show God's kindness. And then what we're going to do, if God opens up the door, is just say, is there a way that we can pray for you today, right? You wouldn't believe the number of people who've allowed me to pray for them on their porch or in their driveway or something like that, you go, well, I want to practice in prayer, join us this Saturday at 10 o'clock. You can be a part of that and get more information about that too. That's on your connection card. You can get info on that, okay? But here's the big thing. You can learn how to pray. You can learn how to pray. And you don't have to pray like me. And you don't have to pray like one of the prayer partners. And you don't have to pray like one of your family group co-leaders. And you don't have to pray like Pastor David Flack. You can pray the way that God teaches you through His Scripture, through the Holy Spirit, through the body of Christ on how to pray. Imagine how your life is going to be different when you know how to pray and you feel confident in praying and you go to the Father without shame and you know how to pray for people in the moment, not go, I'll be praying for you, and then you never do because you're like, I don't really know how to pray for them. But when they ask you to pray, you say, can I pray for you right now? I need 5 seconds. They go, okay, I guess I have 5 seconds. And you pray for them right in that moment. Dude, it changes. It changes things amazingly. Imagine your life when you're the one who gets to share the answers or the stories about the answers to prayer that God's been doing in you and through you. Imagine that. Imagine that. A lot of you know the story of my dad, and I've shared that a couple times, but I want to share that story from another perspective. My dad was a Vietnam veteran, alcoholic, was not a believer in Christ. And so when Christina and I got married in 2002, we had made a commitment. We're going to start praying for the people in our lives every day and as often as we can that they would come to faith. And on the top of my list was my dad. But I remember telling Christina, and she would tell you right now if she would come up and share with you. She wouldn't because she's really meek. But if she would, she would come up and tell you, Fritz has said multiple times, my dad will never come to Christ. I know my dad, he'll never come to Christ. But we started praying in 2002, and we kept on praying throughout the whole time. And then, in June of 2007, I got a phone call saying that my dad was diagnosed with glioblastoma grade 4, the most aggressive form of brain cancer that there is. And they really didn't know how much longer he had. And so now I'm losing it because I'm like, whoa. And I'm a little bit frustrated, a little bit angry with God and what's going on with that. So I just started doubling down, praying on him. And I'm like, Lord, why would you do this? This doesn't make sense. God, this doesn't, why would you, like, why now? Why in this moment? He's not ready for this at all. And so long story short, he ended up moving in with my wife and I, and we started caring for him, we're praying for him, we're walking with him and all of that. And then on December 14th, 2008, I went to his room and I talked to him for about 2 hours, and at the end of that conversation, my dad came to faith in Jesus Christ, and it was phenomenal, right? The whole time I'm praying and going, Lord, why would you do this? Why would you do this? Why would you do this? And on December 14th, I got it. I understood why God allowed that to happen. And then on December 28th, we had no clue this was coming. My dad got to enter into his eternal reward with his Father in heaven. In the moment, I couldn't say this. I can say this since December 14th and December 28th. My dad being diagnosed with glioblastoma grade 4 and the challenges we faced for the last 6 months of his life were a good gift from the Father. I had been praying for years that he would come to faith. And for my dad, it took brain cancer for him to realize that this life is not all there is, that there's something more, and there's a Father who cares deeply for him. In the moment, I couldn't tell you that. I couldn't tell you glioblastoma 4 is a good gift, but I can today. I can today, and I saw it firsthand. I saw it firsthand. You can trust God in every situation, even when the answer isn't the answer that you want, because it's His plan and He's good, and you can trust Him every step of the way, even when things look bad, even when things look crazy, even when things seem like they're falling apart. I just keep trusting You. I keep pressing into You. I keep my eyes fixed on You, Jesus, because if I don't, I'm going to start looking at all these other things, and I'm going to start comparing myself to all these other people, and I'm going to feel less than, and I'm going to feel inadequate, and I'm going to think that You're blessing all of these other people, and You're holding out on me. But if I'll keep my eyes right here, then I know I can trust You. And I'll walk with You in it. And I'll walk with You in it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And I just want you to ask this question. We ask it every Sunday at Lighthouse, and it's simply this: Lord, what are You saying to me through this message? Maybe for some of you, you're realizing, I need to learn how to pray. I'm tired of making that an excuse that, well, I'm uncomfortable. I'm just not good at it. No, I'm going to learn how to pray. Maybe for some of you, it's, I'm going to teach someone else how to pray. I'm not going to hold this to myself. I'm going to give it away to others as well. Maybe for some of you, it's the reality of knowing that even when the answer isn't what you wanted the answer to be, that doesn't diminish God's goodness. It doesn't diminish His care. It doesn't diminish His sovereignty. It doesn't diminish His strength and His power. It just means my line of thought and His line of thought are very different on this. And in those moments, I'm going to trust Him over myself. And maybe for some of you here this morning, you realize that it is time for you to step into faith through Jesus Christ. That for you, it's not going to take glioblastoma grade 4 for you to come to faith, but actually, it took a message on prayer. It took a message on the goodness of God to put your faith in Jesus. So what are you saying to me today, Jesus? We're just trying to help you listen. You're the one who has to act on it. You're the one who has to do what He's saying to you. But we want to help you do what He's wanting you to do by praying for you. And so we want to pray for you. And so we've got prayer partners who are getting ready, and they're coming forward right now to be ready to pray for you. And we're going to sing one more song. And if you want to pray, you just slip out of your seat and you come to the front. And we've got people who are going to be ready to pray with you. And you can pray about any area of your life. It can be about something we talked about this morning. It can be about something else. But whatever it is, you come forward and you pray. And don't ever be embarrassed about prayer. Every single one of us needs prayer. Every one of us. If you come forward and we look at you, what we're going to think is that person needs prayer. That's all we're going to think. That's it. So, and you don't have to be a member or a regular attender of Lighthouse to receive and come forward for prayer. So if you want prayer, you come forward when we start singing this song. Let me pray for you, and then we'll stand together. And if you want prayer, you can come forward. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now in Jesus' name. Amen.